In the studio with me, I have Dr. Max Groen. He is a specialist pediatrician working at Mowbray Maternity Hospital and a senior lecturer in the Department of Neonatology. He is in the Faculty of Health Sciences at the University of Cape Town. His particular fields of interest are the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV, and as such, he has been part of the Western Cape Provincial Department of Health, PMTCT, advisory group since 2001. Authored the provincial PMTCT guidelines for infants with birth weights of less than 2,000 grams. Also, HIV and infant feeding is one of his interests. Dr. Green is also actively involved with the Human Milk Banking Association of South Africa and is a medical advisor to Milk Matters. Hello and welcome, Dr. Max Groen. Can a mother that is HIV positive infect their child if she's breastfeeding?
Yeah, from the mid-1980s, it's been known that HIV can be transmitted from mother to baby during breastfeeding. With current prevention and treatment, the chances of transmission from mother to baby are now very, very small, provided mothers take their treatment.
How does this usually happen with the baby get infected?
Well, it's normally because a mother has a high viral load. She's not taking her treatment. And there's virus in her breast milk as a result. And then the breast milk, then obviously the baby drinks the milk, and the virus then passes into the baby.
And I understand there are safety precautions, and what would these safety precautions be?
Well, the main safety precaution is getting the mothers onto treatment. If the mothers are on treatment, the chances of transmitting the virus are very, very tiny, whether that be to their partners or to their babies or to anyone else. If a mother is on treatment or if anyone is on treatment and their viral load is suppressed, the chance of transmission is extremely small.
And I heard that exclusive breastfeeding. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Well, currently, what the World Health Organization recommends is that for the first 6 months of life, babies are fed only breast milk. Whether that be breastfeeding or whether that be breastfeeding and breast milk feeding. Sometimes the premature babies aren't able to suck directly from the breast, so we've got to get the mom to express the milk and then the baby's fed by a cup or by a tube. But no other feeds other than breast milk for the first 6 months of life. Thereafter, it's safe to add solids and other things to breastfeeding.
Do health professionals give a standardized advice, or has the Minister of Health given clear guidelines for HIV mothers about breastfeeding?
So one of the big problems around policy and guidelines about breastfeeding is that they've changed very much over time, and they're currently being revised right as we sit here at the moment with a major new improvement. So in the mid-1980s, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, once they discovered that breastfeeding could transmit the virus, they recommended that no HIV-positive woman breastfeed. But breastfeeding is the cornerstone of child health and survival in the developing world, and many, many children got sick, and many, in fact, died as a result of that recommendation. So since then, it became apparent that if you exclusively breastfed, the chance of transmission was less than the risk of dying from gastroenteritis or from pneumonia. So slowly breastfeeding came back into this space. And then subsequently we found that if you gave babies antiretrovirals, you could prevent them from getting HIV. And if we gave mothers treatment, we could prevent them transmitting as well.
I understand that there are breastfeeding banks which assist the mothers with breastfeeding. So is it possible that they contract HIV from these banks?
No. The thing is, breast milk bank network is in quite a limited area, really. It mostly provides milk for preterm babies. There's very little spare milk to provide for bigger babies, even if they're HIV exposed and so on. And the way the milk is collected and processed, all virus is, the chance of any infection is eliminated. First of all, we would not accept milk from HIV-infected women. It's necessary for them to have an HIV test before they're allowed to donate milk. And there's certain other lifestyle questions that we ask that, same as with the blood bank, with donating milk. If you have certain diseases, you can't donate blood. The same thing applies to milk. And then the extra thing that happens with milk that can't happen with blood is the milk gets pasteurized, it gets heated, which kills any virus that's there.
Tell the listeners a bit about the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV.
Well, this is one of the big success stories of the last 20 odd years. In South Africa, we have an unusual burden of HIV. We have about 7 million people living with HIV at the moment, and every year about 250,000 pregnant women have HIV. And without PMTCT, or the prevention program, between 60 and 80,000 babies would get HIV each year. And we've managed to come down from those levels down to 6,000 or 8,000 babies per year in the whole of South Africa. So a tenfold reduction in transmission because of this program. It has resulted in a reduction in child mortality, a reduction in maternal mortality, and we've started to reduce the burden of pediatric HIV in this country.
Do you know what could be the influential factors for the increase of HIV?
It has its roots in a whole lot of factors that I'm not expert in. There are many, many drivers of the HIV epidemic in South Africa. But part of the problem has been a period in the early 2000s where government did not come to the party and did not allow us to use ARVs in the public sector. And we were in a bit of a denialist phase. And it's only since the late 2000s, around about 2009, where we started implementing much more aggressive treatment policies that we've managed to get a little bit more on top of the epidemic.
For the parents out there who are not so clued up about the HIV, what advice do you think you could give them?
Well, the thing is, if somebody doesn't know the HIV status, the first advice has to be go and get tested. The more people that get tested, and it's not just being tested once, it's being tested regularly, because once you know your diagnosis, you can get on treatment and then you don't spread the disease, number one. And number two, to get on treatment early has been shown to benefit your health and normalize your life expectancy.
Why do most people refer to the first and most important vaccination for babies, breastfeeding?
Well, and this is particularly so with premature babies who form the bulk of my work, is antibodies from the mother usually transfer to the baby late in pregnancy. So if you're born preterm, you're not loaded with antibodies, you can't fight infections. Breast milk has a whole lot of infection-fighting properties, and including antibodies that can then cross over to the baby if they get only breast milk. And we know that babies who are never breastfed are far more likely to get sick or even to die. And if they do get sick, the severity of the illness is worse than babies who are breastfed.
As an advocate for breastfeeding, can you tell us a bit more about breastfeeding in the workplace or opportunities for mothers to breastfeed?
Well, you know, if the advice is to exclusively breastfeed for 6 months and you only get 4 months or less of maternity leave, it becomes very difficult to exclusively breastfeed. So there are, in fact, conditions of service in the state sector actually do require that employers give breastfeeding mothers an opportunity to express milk twice a day, 2 30-minute breaks to express milk for their babies, so that even if their babies can't be fed directly from the breast, whoever's looking after that baby can actually use the mother's own breast milk. So we're not quite at the level of the Scandinavian countries where maternity leave is much longer and exclusive breastfeeding is much easier as a result.
I understand that it's breastfeeding month. What activities do you guys encourage?
We have a whole campaign going. If you walk down the corridor, you'll see all kinds of balloons and posters. For us at Mowbray, every week of the year is actually breastfeeding week. We promote breastfeeding all the time. So there's not a whole lot extra special that we have to do, but we do make a little bit of a fun fair.
Do you think there's anything else you'd like to share to the listeners?
Well, I think the most important message to put out there is for people who have HIV is that they should know their status and that they should get on treatment, because then they won't transmit. In fact, this message is so strong now that the WHO has recommended change in breastfeeding policy in the HIV context. And in July this year, National Department of Health changed. And the Western Cape is currently changing now from the old recommendation of 12 months of breastfeeding now to 24 months of breastfeeding, provided the mothers are supported on antiretroviral therapy.
Thank you, Dr. Kroon. It is a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
In studio today, we have Mitzi Franken, who is the nursing manager of Red Cross War Memorial's Children's Hospital. She started her career at Tygerberg Hospital in 1991, after qualifying as a registered professional nurse at the then Otto du Plessis Nursing College. After 3 years at Tygerberg Hospital, she worked in midwifery and neonatal nursing care at the Nkoma Hospital in Malawi, and after that she moved to the Karl Bremer Hospital, where she was instrumental in the establishment of the first 30-bed kangaroo mother care unit. Welcome, Mitzi. How are you?
Welcome to everybody. Thank you for the privilege to be here, and I'm doing very well.
Is there anything in the introduction that I missed?
Well, yes, after Karl Bremer Hospital, I moved to Mowbray Maternity Hospital, where I worked as the assistant manager in neonatology for 6 years. And subsequently, 1st September last year, I started at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital.
Why did you choose a career in nursing?
Well, there's a long story and there's a short story. Maybe a little bit of my background will come into this. My mom and my dad used to tell me every year with my birthday, I would lie between mom and dad and I got told the story of my birth. I was the fourth child and it was quite an eventful occasion because my dad had to drive my mom all the way from Vereinstorp to Cape Town as the fourth cesarean section that needed to come out, that's me. And so this whole event of the drive and the story of my birth, I think from small time in my life has made an impact in me. And later years, my mom would also, there's a book that she would open, and I still remember it very clearly with all the flowers in it, and then the important people that birthdays is celebrated with yours. And then she will end the story with saying, and yes, your birthday is with Florence Nightingale, the famous nurse. So I think in a sense I was, since I got my memory, I was thinking of nursing as a career because of these two stories, the story of my birth and that I am born on the same day as Florence Nightingale.
Why is breastfeeding important for a baby?
Breastfeeding, I think in the first and foremost, is about brain development of the child. People think it's just about nutrition and the value and all of that, but it is far more important to the development of the child in that brain connections, the firing and the wiring of the brain happens between breastfeeding, sleeping, awake, alert states and feeding periods. And that makes also the social and emotional development of the child a stable infant and child in later life.
How often should a baby be breastfed in a day?
I think we should not say how often must the baby feed. We should say the baby demands when he feeds. So demand feeding is when the baby lets the mother to feed when he or she wants to feed.
How long should one breastfeed a baby for?
That is very much a cultural aspect also to it. Some cultures will tell you up to 6 years of age, and others will say, no, that is a taboo. But for the average child, and what WHO and the South African guidelines is saying is that for 6 months, it's exclusive breastfeeding, so you don't need to give any other food, water, drinks for 6 months, and then after that, you can continue up until 2 years of age. And then it becomes, I think, a family decision between the husband and the wife or the partner and the mother to decide for how long do we want to continue for the health of our children to provide breast milk for them.
Which is better for a baby, formula or breast milk?
Oh, obviously breast milk. It is just the optimum nutrition for every child that you can get.
Is breast milk enough for a baby, or does a baby need other foods or formula?
Breast milk is enough for the first 6 months. I normally say when the child's teeth starts coming out, then you know I'm now ready to start chewing. So you can give breast milk for up to 6 months or until the child's teeth come out. The child will tell you, I am now more hungry, I'm needing solid foods.
What is the correct position in which the baby should be when he or she is being breastfed?
Any position that is comfortable for the mother and for the child. If the mother and the child is in alignment with each other, they can use any position. I've seen women that are doing yoga upside down standing and the child got to the breast and breastfeed while the mom is doing a stand up. So any position that is comfortable to the mom and the baby.
I have heard that mothers can donate milk to other babies that aren't theirs. Please tell us more about that process.
Yes, we are very privileged in the Western Cape. We've got the Milk Matters. It's an organization that is collecting breast milk from mothers that donates the milk. And it is the same as when you want to give blood and donate blood. There's a form that you complete for your health information. And then you go to a blood laboratory and they draw a tube of blood from you. And if there is no crossover illnesses, then you can donate your breast milk.
Why is there a need for mothers to donate their milk to other mothers?
About 20% of our babies are still born very premature in the Western Cape. And we do have mothers that are very sick after delivery. They end up in the intensive care units and on ventilators, so they themselves are not able or available to provide breast milk to the babies. We also have babies for adoption that are in need of breast milk. So for all that medical cases where the mother is unavailable, it is for them that need the breast milk.
In a case where a mother is in a rural area and doesn't have the facilities to keep breast milk safe, what can she do?
She can breastfeed on demand. It is also then meaning if the baby is there. If the baby is not there to breastfeed, breast milk can be kept for 24 hours safely at room temperature before you need to have it either in a refrigerator or in a fridge.
What is Breastfeeding Week and why is it celebrated?
Breastfeeding Week is internationally celebrated but also nationally celebrated, and it is there to promote and protect breastfeeding. It is creating awareness in the public about the benefits of breastfeeding and why we want actually the health of our nation to improve by getting back into the culture of breastfeeding our children.
Why do workplaces not have rooms dedicated for mothers to breastfeed their babies?
I think as the Industrial Revolution started taking place and women going to the workplace, they kind of got away with not providing breast milk or going back to work. We are fortunate now in South Africa that the law and the labour law is now insisting that workplaces should be providing rooms for mothers to express breast milk during the work period. So every workplace should now work towards that goal to provide an area for mothers to express.
Why do people take offence when mothers feed their babies in public?
That's very much, I also think, a cultural aspects that play a role. For some cultures, it's very common to do it, and some people see it as an offence. It is a mindset that needs to change, that it becomes the accepted norm, that this is for the wealth and health of our children that we need to breastfeed, and not the mindsets of people that is blocking the natural thing to happen.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
For me, together with breastfeeding, is also skin-to-skin care or kangaroo mother care. I'm passionate about it. I've seen in my lifetime the change and the survival of premature infants that 20, 25 years were not surviving and is now surviving, and our healthy young children in our community with kangaroo mother care. All children, not just premature, term infants, all infants should be placed skin-to-skin with their parents. And it is part of self-regulation that is developing and the health of the child that is, goes hands in hand. Skin-to-skin care and breastfeeding goes hands in hand for me.
What is kangaroo mother care?
Kangaroo mother care is where the baby is placed on top of the mom's chest, skin-to-skin. Only the nappy is on, so the more skin is exposed to each other, the baby gets regulated by the mother's heat and temperature, so the baby will never overheat as in incubators. The mom regulates the temperature of the baby, the mom regulates the heartbeat of the baby, the mom regulates the breathing of the baby. So they grow better, they develop better, they are healthier children.
Can a man do kangaroo care?
Yes, the father indeed can do kangaroo care. In a sense, we are saying now it is kangaroo family care, but then the abbreviation is KFC. But yes, anybody, even the caregiver, the agogo, can take care of the child skin to skin. And that is all about bonding and connecting and development of the child. Even the younger siblings can help and do KMC.
What activities is happening at Red Cross Hospital for Breastfeeding Week?
Here at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital, we've got a few activities. The poster presentations by the wards, the artists came out and be creative. And so congratulations to OPD that has won the best poster presentation. And I think secondly was Ward E1 and thirdly was the dietitians. It was very, very high standard of posters that were presented. There will be a management walkabout in the wards where we will be handing out breastfeeding pillows and blankets to the mothers in the wards that are breastfeeding. And so the dietitian department is running activities throughout this week and information sessions about breastfeeding in the hospital.
Thank you, Mitsu Franken, for coming. It has been a pleasure interviewing you.
Hi, I'm Amira, a young child reporter at RX Radio. Today I'm going to interview the three winners of the Creative Arts Display Competition from the OPD, E1 and the Dietetics Department. As part of World Breastfeeding Week from the 1st to the 7th of August, the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital, in collaboration with the Child Nurse Practice Department Initiative, ran a creative arts display competition for all the hospital staff. Welcome, winners. I heard that there was a competition for Breastfeeding Week. Can you explain what it is all about?
Okay, my name is Caroline Ngugu. I'm working in OPD, Allergy Clinic. So this competition was for everybody who is a champion for the breastfeeding. So it was a tough competition. So we were given four headings to choose. You can use them, four of them, or you can choose one and use that. So the competition was about the nutrition. You choose from nutrition, food security and poverty, or survival, health and well-being, environment and climate change, women, productivity and employment. So as OPD, we decided to use four headings. The breastfeeding is to promote the women. The women must breastfeed because breastfeeding is cheap. Even if you don't have money, but your baby is gonna have food. And it makes a connection between you and your baby. So we must give support to the mothers. Like at work, we must have a place like a crèche to keep the babies. And the working mothers, we must give them time to bond with their babies, to go to see their babies and feed them. And then we must also have a place for the mothers to express. We must promote the breastfeeding. We must also thank the law for giving us the maternity to pay for our maternity leave. Because when you're at home, you get paid. At work, we must also have work schedule, not heavy work. And then, or part-time, must have part-time work. We can allow the mothers to bring the babies at work so that whenever they want to breastfeed, they can go breastfeed their babies.
Is this competition an annual event or has it just started?
I'm Staff Nurse Nancy Adams. I'm working in OPD, the Ophthalmology Department. This all started in 2013. It happens annually from the 1st to the 7th of August.
Who are you targeting? Were you targeting the parents or the health workers?
I'm Sister Mortlock Skeepers. I work in Outpatient Department in Infectious Diseases Clinic. The target group was parents, the community, and even our workers, employees at the hospital to promote it. We want to target everyone because, you know, sometimes it's not always the parent that brings a child in. It's sometimes a carer that brings a child in. At times that carer also has got the child herself or pregnant. So we can also promote it to that parent or grandparents or someone that can go out in the community and promote it there. So we target everyone.
Why was this competition done?
Good day, everybody. My name is Sister Margot Joseph. I'm working in Ward E1. It's the cardiology and tracheostomy unit. We started this competition every year during Breastfeeding Week. It's also to create awareness among the staff members and also among the public to support and promote breastfeeding and make people aware about the importance of breastfeeding and how can we promote and sustain breastfeeding. This year's theme was about sustaining breastfeeding.
Who took part in this competition?
Molweni Ndingunesokaya from Ward E1, which is a cardiology and pulmonology ward. Ndithathe inxaxheba kule competition ye-breastfeeding. Uncanciso lwebisi lebele lwabantwana. Ndithathe indawo njengomama oncancisayo. Ndaze ndancancisa umntana wam ndiyoba ndingumsebenzi. Umntana wam ndimgcinisa kwi-creche e-Stepping Stones ekwalapha emsebenzini. Ngexesha lam kulokufumana ikhefu ndahamba ndoncancisa umntana wam e-creche. Fike ndamncancisa ibisi lebele. Wancanca umntana wam uthi akugqiba ndabuya ndaexpressa olunye for ixesha anothi aphinde abuye alambe ngalo. Ubisi lwebele lubalulekile.
To add to Nesukaya, Ward E1, Ward E2, OPD, ICU, Dietitian Department, and Ward G1 took part in this competition.
Where can these creative displays be seen?
The creative displays can be seen in different departments and all around Red Cross, OPD, in the foyer or in the passages of the wards.
What were the prizes and who won the competition?
I'm Camlin Blau from the Dietetics Department. So there were three prizes to be won in this competition. There was first, second and third prize. Third prize was taken by the Dietetics Department. Second prize was taken by Ward E1. And then the first prize was then taken by OPD. The prizes were a participation certificate, a Woolies voucher for different amounts, chocolates, and then also the first prize got the floating trophy, which is the World Breastfeeding Trophy, basically, that every year is then passed on to the, which this year is the reigning champs, OPD again. So in preparation, I think it's just ongoing support and motivation of why mothers should be breastfeeding. There's sustainable developmental goals that promotes us as healthcare workers, but also as the community in a whole to continue breastfeeding because there's so many advantages for both the parents, the community, the children at least. And so I don't think you can prepare yourself. So depending on the theme, if you are maybe a collector of information or new research that comes out, then you can keep that information. But as a theme comes out for each year, you then think about how you are going to present that in the different creative ways that you possibly can.
Any last words?
We had a lot of fun.
Lots of fun. Because there's so many breastfeeding advantages, like I mentioned, for breastfeeding parents, because it's not just about the mother and her child, but it's also about, of course, the partner, the father, or whoever else there is. But then also, if we as healthcare workers help to encourage the families to continue breastfeeding, you work on improving the nutritional status of one child every day, maybe. Okay, then you can eventually, with that, improving the nutritional status of each child, you can then put that child into the world and then they can be a better citizen going out there trying to improve then or making their change in the world one step at a time.
Can I just add on to what Camlin just said? With breastfeeding, there's a lot of emotion for the mother that's breastfeeding. So a lot of support is needed for family members or friends to just to add on support. As me as a mom that just breastfed, my newborn baby, there's you do need a lot of support. So us as health workers also to support the parent that does come in that breastfeed, or just sometimes parents say they don't want to breastfeed a lot. And I know Camlyn, she works with the parents closely, and as me working in the clinic, so there's a lot of challenges that goes with breastfeeding. So for us as healthcare workers, it's just to support and not to discriminate, but always to be a helping hand towards the parents and family members. And it's not the mother that should be the target. It should be the family at home. Because sometimes you get a single mother, so but there will always be a granny or someone to educate them and not just targeting the mother alone.
To add to what she's saying, that the competition, anybody could participate, individuals or teams, units. So for us, it was a nice way that we can build, which is very important for us to work together, because we also need to work together. Nobody can do it by themselves. Mm. The mothers, the breastfeeding mothers, need us as healthcare workers to work together to promote and support breastfeeding. And that is for all healthcare workers. That is for us, the clinical healthcare workers that work closely with the parents. But also it's very important that the supportive services also promote and help us to sustain breastfeeding.
Thank you for coming to Oryx Radio and doing the interview with me. Bye.
I am Andre Turin, one of Oryx Radio's young reporters, and now you will be hearing views of breastfeeding mothers at Red Cross Hospital and those of health professionals about breastfeeding and breastfeeding week.
I'm Ms. Harof. I'm working in ICU. We always have mommies that's expressing very seldom breastfeeding, because ICU is critical care unit. We tube feed them or they get continuous feeds. We encourage the moms to express. We teach them where to store the milk and how long in the deep freeze and how long in the fridge. So if a mom really struggles with expressing, the nursing staff is there to help them. And if the mom has really got no milk, you can ask the doctor to prescribe Maxolon tablets for her. That also will increase her milk. The more she expresses, the more the milk will come. Breastfeeding week is important from the 1st to the 7th. When you have a mother that's expressing, and you've teach her all the ropes, she can even teach the other mom. She encourages them, look, this is what I was taught from the nurse or the sister or the doctor. So I'm teaching you, and you can teach the other one as well.
I'm in E1 ward here at Red Cross Children's Hospital, and I breastfeed my baby because I know breast is best. I know that it's the best thing for my baby. It has all the nutrients she needs. I don't care much for formula. I believe that everyone has the ability to breastfeed, and I like to do it continuously and conscientiously.
Hi, ik is de moeder bij Ruijkreis Hospital. Ik wil graag moeders aanmoedigen om volle babiekjes meer borstelen, want dat is de gezondste ding wat ze kan doen, als om formule melk te gebruiken. En borstvoeding is bijna goed voor babiekjes, dat houden weg van ziektes af. Enzovoort.
Decide to breastfeed and Red Cross 82. The reason why they decide to breastfeed is because breastfeed is not a problem because we are going to and I was for Lula anazo, and Narandu Bana, the connection between when I know Mtana Wako, Iba and Gulula bond, and Uno Son Logakulu breast more than a formula. And yeah, they turned breastfeeding.
I kies borstvoeding, van is gezond voor die baba. En is net vir alles van die beste vir hom.
Ek breastfeeding balulekile kuba ikulisa majoni omzimba omntana and omntana wakazifumane izifo ezininzi xana ngabane sebenzisa breastfeeding and ingqondo yakhe ikhula ewise, that's why they prefer our breastfeed.
I choose breastfeeding because it's best for the babies and it's more healthier. And it's the best.
I'm Shiham Kader. I'm the dietitian, but also a chairperson or member of our Breastfeeding is Best group in Red Cross. And our celebration this week is World Breastfeeding Awareness Week. And the importance around that is basically around ensuring we fully around advocacy around the support, the protection, and the promotion of breastfeeding, to link up with World Breastfeeding Association, whereby they advocate around breastfeeding support. Also in line with South African priorities, where they also have many aspects around bringing awareness and support around breastfeeding. We celebrate this every year to support our mothers, to make them aware that they are not alone. They feel very, at times, isolated, so we're here to support them.
By the children, for the children.